Well, hello and good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to 30 Minutes of Wisdom for this Friday, March 9th, 2012. This is Gregory Mascari from Bozeman, Montana, and I want to thank everyone for joining us here on our live call or on the replay. Rob and I started these regular weekly calls kind of as our way of paying it back, or I guess you could really say paying it forward, for all the amazing people we've been blessed to meet, the wisdom we've garnered over the years and really over the decades. And it's our intention with these Friday morning Enlightened Networking 30-minute of wisdom calls to create a safe space where people from all professions, backgrounds, and companies can come together and dip into the well of wisdom with some of the most forward-thinking speakers, trainers, authors, and really enlightened beings in the world today. And at this time, I'd like to turn our call over to one of those enlightened beings and my partner in life, Robin Blank Mascari.
Well, thank you, Gregory, and thank you for all that you do, and thank you, everyone, for being with us today, whether you're listening live or on our recorded call. Today, our topic, and I'm taking a deep breath as I even say it, is getting things done. And notice how our minds go in amazing places when we even say that. My personal subtitle is something from our speaker today, Two Keys to Sustaining a Healthy Life and Work Style. Our guest is the chairman and founder of an international training and consulting firm that specializes in fields of personal and organizational productivity. He's actually viewed as one of the world's most influential thinkers in the areas of productivity and one of America's top 100 thought leaders. He was named in the top 100 people to follow on Twitter, which is pretty amazing because he's one of the few non-celebrities on Twitter that has over a million followers that are captivated by his wit and his inspiration. His international best-selling book, Getting Things Done, has been a perennial bestseller. People really need this work. Since 2001 when it was released, and is in languages, oh my goodness, over 28 to 30 languages and all over the world. What's fascinating is I've been on his emailing list for quite a while now, and it was such a joy when I saw the questions that I've been sharing for about 25 years show up in his newsletter. And I was so touched because knowing how large his audience is and how many people he affects, to realize how many more people were getting these year-end questions. So I contacted his organization. I got a response back. And it is my honor to introduce to you this morning, or whenever you're listening to our call, David Allen. Good morning.
Good morning, Robin. Delighted to be with you folks.
Well, it's great to have you. And if it's okay, I'd like to start with a quote. I've been having such a time listening to your interviews, you know, rereading your book, you know, looking at the workflow map that we have. You know, my husband has it on his wall next to his desk. You've been more with us than you even know, and I think that's probably true with lots of people. And this quote that I think really kind of encapsulates so much of your work: your ability to generate power is directly proportional to your ability to concentrate. Your ability to concentrate is directly proportional to your ability to eliminate distractions. Distraction is created by mismanaged commitments. Could you please share a little bit more about what mismanaged commitments are, David?
Well, you know, one of the best ways to describe a mismanaged commitment, and by the way, that's not a judgment, it's just an observation, is to start to pay attention to what has your attention. Usually what has people's attention, but there's a couple of ways that things can have your attention. They can have your attention because you just want to put your attention on it. But the distraction is when something is holding your attention hostage. That is, you keep thinking about something. You know, this, that, or the other thing you would, could, should, ought to, maybe do something about. And especially if you have that thought more than once, it probably means that there's something about that thing that you are attached to, that something, some part of you thinks that something should be different, or you might, would, could, should, ought to decide or do something. You just haven't finished that yet. So it keeps banging you in the head. It's almost like you've got this little servant inside of you that's about 7 years old that says, Robin, aren't you going to handle that? What are you going to do about that? And it'll wake you up at 3 o'clock in the morning and beat you bloody about something you can't do anything about. So that's what I mean by a mismanaged commitment. It's some level of, when I say commitment, some part of you thinks you would, could, should, ought to either decide or do something about something, and you haven't done that yet or you haven't finished that. And so it just, this little, you know, this little thing inside of you just keeps banging you on the head.
Thank you. And one of the top Twitter quotes from you is, if you don't pay appropriate attention to what has your attention, it'll take more of your attention than it deserves.
Isn't that bizarre? it's really true. And, you know, I'm the laziest guy in the world. It's just I got so lazy and got so subtle about what I needed to be lazy about. I just don't like to have a thought more than once. So I began to unpack and uncover how come we have a thought more than once. And it's simply because we haven't put the right thought on it yet.
I love it. And as I've reviewed so much of your work and I've kind of been looking at the core essence of it, because you're the tools and resources, and we'll talk more about how to access these, but David has got tremendous resources in so many realms for all different kinds of minds. And it really does start out with the mind, and I see over and over and over again in your work is, how can we let go of some of the stress? Where do we start with this? Because getting things done, I can feel from a lot of people with the overwhelm that so many of us live in, where do we start?
It's a good question. You don't have to go very far. You know, start
with what's most important. That's good news.
No, it'll go right here. Say, hey, whoever's listening to this, if you're listening to, you know, me and Robin right now, where's your mind gone, even for the few minutes that we've been talking, that has nothing to do with what we've been talking about? That's where you start. Wait a minute, what's grabbing your attention right now? And so the first thing you have to do is just identify those things. So if you were really going to, you know, implement this process in spades, first thing you need to do is sit down and really just do what we call a mind sweep. You could call it, computer terms, a core dump. You know, basically just get yourself a big stack of paper and every single thing, little, big, personal, professional, whatever, that's on your mind, write them down, one per piece of paper, and just throw them all in your in basket. You know, oh, I need to handle my mom's elder care situation. Oh, I need to get a birthday present for my sister. Oh, I, you know, got a hangnail I need to fix. Oh, I need to, you know, I need to buy this company. Oh, I, you know, we want to get a dog. Oh, gee, we might want to go to Malibu next year. You know, get it all. Now, that's, most people, that's a pretty daunting task.
Yes, I can resemble that.
Yeah, well, but there actually is an end to that process. You know, if you really want to run this one out, just go for it. You might need an hour or two. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to dig very hard. It's not like you have to go in there and you know, go to some basement inside your psyche and, you know, clean house. Just let it bubble up and just start grabbing all that. And
so,
you know,
starting with the data dump and finding a place to put it. So when I look at your work and I read more about it, it's not about time management. It's more about mind management, isn't it?
If you don't mind a little sort of Zen-esque, Zen kind of
thing. I love it.
Is that getting things done is not about getting things done. You know, this is a big secret here, you know, that I'll share with you.
You beat me to the question.
Yeah, it's not about getting things done. It's about being appropriately engaged with your world. And
beautiful.
But here's the Zen part of it is, if you are here in the world to get things done, and that's my working hypothesis, that we actually all are in some way, then you have to be getting things done in order to be appropriately engaged with the world. So getting things done is not about getting things done, and it is. So there's first there's a mountain, then there is no mountain, then there is a mountain again. So it's really about being appropriately engaged. And by the way, sometimes the appropriate engagement is to not get something done.
Wow.
You know, you're getting stuff done that may be old business. You're still working off some old momentum, but things have changed. These things have shifted. A lot of people feel like they're procrastinating about some things that they actually should just move on to a someday maybe list because the timing has passed. So appropriate engagement does not necessarily mean work harder, faster, hamster wheel stuff. Not at all. It may mean you need to take a nap. You know, so
I love
it,
that.
It's really about. Yeah,
well,
that's the challenge. Is okay. What would appropriate engagement mean to me right now?
Mm.
And that's, you know, probably the more subtle question to answer.
Wow. And so much of your work, you know, I hear you talk about the stresses that so many of us live in with increased technology and all these things that are, you know, the moving parts of our life. And so much of the work that you share with all these amazing tools is about to, you know, let go of some of that stress so we can get to that true core of accessing our intuition. And I don't think people, you know, see that right away when they look at getting things done. So I'd love you to talk about that and why that is a core essence of the work.
Well, I think that's, you know, and again, this is just based on lots of years of my experience, is that that's really where success comes from, is following your spontaneous intuitive hunches. You know, following the inner wisdom. I mean, I think there's a still small voice inside of all of us that knows when we're on and knows when we're off. Actually, it doesn't know when you're on. When you're on, you don't even think about being on or off. You only think about being on when you've fallen off. When you're on, time just disappears. You're just there. You know, it's funny. I'm just finishing up the 5-day intensive with Brian Bohmeister, the drawing on the right side of the brain. And it's such a fabulous course, and it really is, Brian and his mother, you know, who wrote the original book, Patty Edwards, you know, they just basically structured it so that you have to move into, you know, this rather simplistic, but it's the idea of the right brain. You have to move into that place where time truly disappears. And truly, as we're drawing, I mean, literally 3 or 4 hours just disappears. What happened? You know, because that's that part of us that more accesses, if you will, the more spontaneous and the more intuitive sort of gestaltish, you know, part of our psyche. And that's, I think, the fun place to be, whether you're repairing your son's bicycle, whether you're, you know, running a 4-minute mile, or whether you're just, you know, wandering around the rose garden, reflecting. I think that state is something we all probably need to be able to access more and more easily. And what gets in the way is oftentimes the other side of things, where we have not managed things very well, and some part of us knows we should, and so we keep, you know, having that sort of inner conflict going on inside. So that's, you know, that's why I say it's really about appropriate engagement. It's not about working harder. But appropriate engagement, if you've committed that, hey, I need new tires in my car, and you are not handling that, or if you said, look, I need to handle the elder care situation with my parents right now, but you haven't decided a next action on that yet, you are then not fulfilling or keeping your own commitment with yourself about it. And the stress comes from beating yourself up. The stress really doesn't come from, you know, out here. It comes from you essentially not keeping agreements with yourself. So you need to get clear about what are your agreements with yourself. And as, you know, back to our first point, that's one of the most daunting things for people to do. Most people haven't a clue how many things they've actually told themselves they would, could, should, ought to do, and they haven't closed that loop yet. So that's the first thing you need to do, is identify what agreements have you made. Because if the stress is coming from breaking agreements with yourself, first of all, you better know what all those agreements are, so that you can either keep the agreement, you know, unhook from the agreement, call, no, I'm not going to do that, or most importantly, renegotiate that agreement, call, no, not now. The thing I need to do right now is talk to Robin, you know, on the phone, not the 642 other things I could be doing right now. But I need to know what all those were, so that I can unhook and be available, so I can appropriately engage with you, or my agreement with myself about talking with you. Does that make sense?
Well, absolutely. And, you know, in looking at your work and things that many of us have been exposed to, like the field of sports psychology and the point of power is in the present, and Csikszentmihalyi's work of, you know, being in our flow state, you know, your work just pulls it all together so beautifully. David, how did you get into this work?
Well, that's a long story. We'd need more than half an hour to do that.
But okay.
Very short version of it is, I had two sort of interests that seemed distinct and separate, but they folded together at one point. One interest was just in sort of high performance behavior. I was always interested in, you know, what could I do? What could anybody do? Without having to go truly transform your life, but you could improve your condition, improve how you got stuff done, improve anything. And I was always fascinated by what are the things that we could learn to do, or behaviors we could do, or techniques that we could use that would then make it easier, better, faster to do X, Y, and Z. So I've always been interested in that, and that, you know, that range from all kinds of meditative practices to the martial arts to, you know, all kinds of things, sports psychology, as you mentioned. Lots of stuff like that. So I was fascinated by that. On the other hand, I was also fascinated by models. That is, you know, if there's a context here, or there's a model about how to run a meeting, or there's a model about how to plan a project, or there's a model about how to organize a company. And I've always been fascinated by that and how stuff sort of works in that regard. So, and also, I didn't know what I wanted to do when I grew up. So by the time I was in my 30s, I counted up. I'd done 35 things, you know, as jobs. So then your only options are becoming a consultant or a total flake. So I decided I'd take the positive route and said, okay, since I'm basically unhireable, let me go just start to experience, you know, what it'd be like to walk in and see if I could assist people with what they were doing. And I got into this game really uncovering the fact that a lot of the people I started to consult with, because, you know, I like to walk in and say, okay, can we improve what you're doing? You know, can I help? And a lot of these people were entrepreneurs. They were you know, people starting their own businesses. There was a whole lot that I just began to discover that these folks had trouble focusing because they were so wrapped around other things and issues that were not being handled. So just in a matter of consulting these people and coaching with them, I uncovered some of these principles, and they began to draw together a lot of things I was learning in terms of just human behavior and how we work. So that's probably a longer, more esoteric way to describe, you know, how I got into this. But I've always, quite frankly, I've always been, people have often think, you know, I'm the organization guy. It's not, but my stuff is not really about being organized. Again, it's about just being appropriately engaged with it. But from the very time I can remember as a kid, I wake up in the morning and say, how much easier can I do this? How much easier can I walk between here and there? I'm always thinking that way. I thought everybody thought that way, but I guess maybe not. But I can't help but keep thinking about what's the most efficient way, you know, to use my energy so I don't have to waste it. So that has been sort of the common denominator, and I suppose that's been the prime driver, and I got my 10,000 hours I've put in. figuring that one out, you know. So it's one of the most powerful tools,
as many of us know, is the questions we live in, and it seems like a common denominator of some of the greatest thinkers of all times is the quality of the questions that go through our minds that access that intuition. And, you know, you've touched so many lives in so many ways, and you have so many tools to help bring people to more peace so they can be more present. And as I view your materials and things, it looks like there's people that go through a paradigm shift when they get exposed to your work and shift out of what you call the latest and loudest into, you know, what's most important. So what can you share a few of those shifts that have, you know, that you hear from people regularly that have made the biggest difference? Because the paradigm can really make it easier more than anything, than any kind of to-do.
Yeah, well, it really is about, are you at effect of the world, or do you have your hand on the helm? It's really not about calming life down, by the way. I mean, my work doesn't get rid of your challenges. Heavens no. I mean, if you didn't have challenges, back to the flow idea, you would be bored stupid, and you also wouldn't grow or expand or express yourself. So it's really not about getting rid of challenge or stress in the positive sense of that. It's really about making sure that your hand is on the wheel. That is, I'm driving this thing. I'm appropriately engaged in some sort of forward motion about what I'm doing in some constructive way, as opposed to I'm the victim of it. So that shift, as you probably know, that's a huge paradigm shift from all the self-development work, you know, since the 60s or 70s, you know, that look, pretend like you're actually in charge of your life and your life starts to work better, you know, whether you are or not. But if you grab hold of the helm and say, look, I'm going to move myself in this direction, you'll find you've got an awful lot more power and start to, you know, see things you never saw before, and you start to manage your life in a much more constructive way. So that may sound a little philosophical or esoteric. What happens with our work is a very real, you don't even have to buy into that idea. All you have to do is truly get stuff out of your head, pick them up one at a time, and say, okay, wait a minute, what's the very next action I need to take about this? And start to define what you would need to do to get completion on your agreements. And then some part of you goes, oh, well, that's all I have to do is pick up the phone and make a call, and I can start to move this big project forward. You go, well, gee, I could do that. So you pick up the phone, you punch seven numbers, somebody answers, you actually have a conversation, and suddenly you know, this whole project is starting to move forward. And in a way, it's kind of that simple, but it's also that elegant. Like, you just, all you don't have to know everything about it. I think that's one of the big paradigm shifts, is that you kind of get rid of that perfectionist thing, which can paralyze us like crazy. Like, I need to know everything about everything before I can start doing anything. And there you sit, you know, as opposed to, wait a minute, just what's the next step I need to take toward whatever this thing is as best I can imagine it, and get going. And, you know, as you start moving with this and start use this process to start to pay attention to what's grabbing your attention, start to clarify what does it mean, what's the action step, what outcome does this represent to me, and start to get that out of your psyche and work some sort of your own personal systematic approach to how do you manage these agreements, and basically get it down to the simple things you need to do, you know, life just starts to take off in the most strange and interesting way. And it's very unique for the individual. Each individual will experience that transformation in different ways.
Beautiful. I'm breathing better already. And
yeah,
one of the
relax.
And I think that is what happens when people, you know, shift out of all that craziness that's in the head and get it out on the paper and look at what's grabbing attention and what's something I can do right now to move it forward. And you talked about completion, because so many people, you know, lose energy because things are incomplete. We actually even had a talk about that from Genevieve Joshua on another call, because a lot of people don't even realize how that leaks power and leaks energy when we have incompletes. So that seems to be a one of your great ways there. The two keys to sustaining a healthy life and work style. I know this is a longer conversation, but can you summarize?
The two keys. There are really two aspects. Anything that you would frame as time management or personal organization or prioritization, it really boils down to two things. You need to keep things under control, and you need appropriate focus. Control and focus are really the two aspects of any of that, of sort of self-management or managing your organization or your family. The only time you need to improve is feeling like things are not so much as in control as they need to be, or they're not appropriately focused as they need to be. And this could be your kitchen. You walk into your kitchen. You ever walk in and go, whoa, this kitchen is out of control right now. You haven't cleaned up from the party last night. You wake up in the morning, you walk in and go, oh, my God, right? So if you have now friends coming over for dinner, what you want to do is get the kitchen under control first. And then, you know, once it's cleaned up and then things are put in their place and here's what that means. Ooh, this is yucky. Let me throw that away. Let me put this back in the fridge. So basically what you're doing is the stages that I teach about how do you get anything under control. You first of all capture the stuff that's not on cruise control or identify it. Then you decide what it means. Then you decide where it goes. And then you step back and reflect on the whole game. And then you know, point yourself, go, okay, now let me pull out that pan and melt some butter. So that's really how you do anything. So first of all, you need to get it under control by going through those stages. And then you need to make sure you're focused on the right thing. Is butter the first thing I need to cook right now? You know, so maybe you've got a recipe or something, so you need to focus appropriately. So those are the two elements of it, of any and all of this. So how do you get control? Well, very simple. You capture the stuff that's not in cruise control, and then you make, sooner than later, decide what it means, what you're going to do about it, what action steps it's taken. Then you organize yourself in a certain way, or organize those things in appropriate categories, so your mind doesn't have to keep thinking, wait a minute, what is this and where does it go? You've already made that decision. That's why you put it there. And then you step back and see, okay, let me look at the whole game and then make good intuitive choices about what to do. That's actually how we go through, you know, a whole lot of our life anyway. And Robin, as you probably know, I didn't go out and make up some new technology or foreign language or something with this. All I did was begin to uncover what it is that we really do when things really work. When we have things under control, how did we do that? We captured, processed, organized, and reviewed, and then engaged. And when I need to have an appropriate focus, what do you need to focus on? Well, you know, I've identified the six horizons of where we have commitments. You know, what's your purpose? What's the vision of success? What are the things you need to accomplish to make that happen? What are the things you need to maintain so you have healthy and balanced sort of enterprise to get there? What are the projects you need to finish? And what are the actions you need to take? It really comes down to that simple. Of course, simply said, but you know, answering those questions about all the complexities and subtleties of our lives, that's where the challenge is.
Well, from everything I've looked at and read about you, you're the consummate student, never-ending improvement, looking at ways to make it, like you said, you know, living in the question, how can I make this easier? What's the most efficient way? David, who's inspiring you right now?
Well, I get inspired by all kinds of people all the time, sort of like you guys. I mean, you're great with networking. I love to do that, too. So, you know, there's sort of my book du jour, you know, in terms of just...
What is your book du jour at the moment?
Last book du jour. You know, I've loved Dan Pink's work. Dan's now a friend.
Oh, isn't that fabulous?
You know, Dan's a big GTD fan of my stuff as well. So I just had dinner with him a couple weeks ago. And you know, I think now since I'm doing this drawing class, of course, it's reminding me of A Whole New Mind, which was sort of put Dan on the map. That was a great book, and his last one, Drive, fabulous book on motivation.
I'm in the middle of that one, and I heard a talk on that, and that just touched me so deeply. Yeah,
it's good stuff. And Chip Conley's work, I think, is fabulous.
What is that? I'm not familiar with that.
He's the guy who runs the hotel chain, and a lot about just sort of motivation and how to build a culture that's highly motivating. It's almost like I go through periods where I read one book and I go, wow, that turns me on to another book, and that turns me on, and then for a while I'm just so busy with just implementing my own life and trying to make that happen, I barely can do anything. Actually, my wife and I have been listening to some great fiction in the car because we've got a little bit of a commute now since we moved to Santa Barbara, and our office is about 45 minutes away, and so we've been listening to great stuff. So Ann Patchett's books, fabulous fiction. So love good fiction. That's sort of my I figure I'm one of my fantasies in my golden years would be to actually have time to actually read fiction, which I love to do. It's like watching a 24-hour movie, 24 hours of a movie. It's fabulous. So that's what I'm doing now. That's my fun.
That's beautiful. Well, getting back to the more practical, because we have just a little bit of time left, you've created so many tools to support people in gaining this peace in their life to really stay on purpose and live more effectively. I know you've got so many, but where would someone start? You've got your website, davidcoe.com, and gtdconnect.com. You have free articles and books and online learning platforms that people can subscribe to. What are some of the favorite tools that you've got available that people just say, this just worked, this rocked?
Probably the best tool is our Getting Started, is our GTD Starter Kit.
Uh-huh.
It's about $79. It's on the web. You can find it on the web, and it's CDs and my book. And so it really is sort of the step 1, 2, 3 formula about how to start engaging with this thought process and with this, set of tools. So that's probably a very popular way. It is probably the most popular way that people can get started. And, just my book, if you haven't read my first book, Getting Things Done, The Art of Stress-Free Productivity, it's really a manual for all of this. So if you had the discipline to sit down and just read through it and actually implement it, I give you all the instructions about how to do it in there. So that's an easy way to get involved. But, oftentimes listening to it, audio, and again, as you mentioned, GTD Connect, which is our online learning platform, is great. And I think there's a 2-week free trial you can get in there and surf around. There's just tons of information in there. So lots of ways to play. You gave the website at davidcoe.com, and so if someone can just take a 5-minute surf around, you'll see a lot of different ways to engage.
There's wonderful free articles, everyone, and there's also great interviews. It's been really fun to listen to many of your different interviews. So we have just a minute, just a minute left. Any other final comments, David, before we complete our recorded session here?
This all is actually a lot easier than it may sound, and it's not hard to get started. Just one foot in front of the other and keep going. Stick around. Love to have a network of great people. We've created a wonderful global community of people sort of participating with this all around the world. So come on in, join us. The water's fine.
Thank you so much. It's been truly inspiring because many people on this call are entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, thought leaders, doing some new work in the world and important work in the world. So having these resources is a huge contribution. And thank you, David, for all that you do, who you be, the huge contribution that you're making to the world for people to be living more on purpose. Gregory, do you have any comments?
Well, I'll just jump in briefly and say thank you, David. As Robin said, I've had your Getting Things Done workflow map on the wall right next to my desk here for a couple of years. I bought your starter kit. I was enamored with your work, and I love how you break things down into its basic, simple components. You know, I tend to think that way also, and, you know, and you just make the complex simple. You know, keep control, get focus. You know, taking the next lighted step, being open inspiration, guidance, and synchronicity. And so thank you so much for I reread the workflow map this morning, and I was just, again, inspired by its brilliance and simplicity. So thank you. Thank you for the work you've done and the lives you're touching with it.
Well, that's mutual for you folks, too. Gregory, Robin, thank you very much for your contributions. As you know, I ran across your stuff. That's fabulous and good work. So very much appreciated both ways.
At this time, we're going to complete our recording, and I just want to share next week we have Doug Stevenson coming on our 30 Minutes of Wisdom call. Doug teaches people how to be brilliant storytellers. Stories are one of the most powerful ways to engage and impact people for a lasting impact. He's a brilliant educator on storytelling. So stay tuned, everyone, and thank you so much for being with us. And I don't know, David, do you have a few minutes for a Q&A when we complete our recording?
Sure.
Okay, great. So we're going to complete the recording right now, and then we'll open up for just a few minutes.